Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Every day is just one heartbeat away from a headline. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Let's talk about Ron Logan a little bit. I mean, you know this case better than I think almost anyone I know. Obviously, Ron Logan had passed away after all this took place. We're talking back in 2017 when the girls were murdered. Why wasn't there more looked into on him and the part of the Delphi police investigating him, considering you had a girlfriend that's saying, yeah, that's him?
You know, essentially what was relayed to me is that the local authorities thought he was too old to commit a crime like this. It didn't really make much sense because you can see Ron Logan walking on the bridge. You can see him walking on his property. It was on his property. He was a huge man and certainly physically fit enough. But that's what the thought process was. At least that's what was told me from the inner, some people inside that investigation. And there were certainly people within the Bureau compared to the people in local law enforcement that they were not on the same page. And thus you saw after a couple years, there was a big divide and the Bureau was no longer part of the case.
What do we know about Ron Logan's like history, criminal history? Does he have much of anything? I know there was like some tickets here and there, automobile related. Is there anything deeper?
Well, he certainly had a history of using alcohol. He had a history of domestic violence that was testified to. He, you know, quite frankly, was not considered a very decent man at all in the community, from all accounts. Not a good guy.
Yeah.
But in terms of his actual convictions, I would have to look that up, but I recall distinctly he had a domestic violence background regarding different women he was involved in. One that escaped, as she would tell it, with her life as she drove away and he assaulted her.
Yeah.
You know, definitely a violent background.
Yeah. The portrait of a character who could be capable of something like this. Keegan Klein, obviously another big character in this, who, again, not charged with anything, but he's away on his own separate charges for child pornography. He's away for 40-some years, was communicating with one of the girls right up until pretty much the day that they were murdered, even planned on meeting with them, talked about it at least. Help me understand this one and how that all just kind of went away in terms of him being a suspect.
Well, you raise such great questions. I mean, essentially, law enforcement hooked them, meaning Libby and Keegan Klein, through an account, a phishing account under the name of Anthony Schatz, which was, you know, a very good looking, a guy that came across through Keegan Klein's creation as rich and well-spoken. And that's who he used to sort of fish for all these young girls. Mm-hmm. And later on, it was believed by law enforcement because Keegan Klein came forward and talked about the gun that was used and that he was involved with that. His father was involved and that it was thrown in a body of water. So he was actually, and this is quite a involved process, he was removed from jail, which is very, very rare to get everyone to agree to that because was allowed to come out, help them search, and essentially nothing was found. And so they chalked that up as, you know, him being a liar and not telling the truth. He wasn't given consideration for the charges. And, you know, he was convicted on multiple child pornography charges. So that, to me, will always be an issue, because later he communicated with another young girl, and again about hooking up, and that girl was, you know, right after their discussion, a man was at the woman's house, the young girl's house, with a mask on. So very scary situation. And so, you know, it leads one to wonder who was in his circle that he might have communicated some of these communications with.
Yeah. And if he wasn't going to go meet with them that day, who did, and who is in that circle? But it seems like there was never really investigated much of his circle.
Yeah. Those types of charges, it's so big when it comes to digital evidence. And I think especially once the Bureau was out of it, that's just a big ask for the state police to continue with all those details. I think there were issues with the Snapchat type accounts, accounts that, you know, come and disappear. And so it was never really clear as to how he was just suddenly cleared. One minute, you know, they think they're hunting for the gun that was involved in this, and the next minute he was just cleared. And that's, again, the same MO as with Ron Logan. But I will say a couple of things, Tony.
Yeah.
One, Kelsey, the sister of Libby, specifically said that from her recollection, it was a last-minute decision that she and Abby decided to take this walk, that in fact Kelsey was invited. So that does beg the question then, were they really going to have a meetup if they invited the older sister? You know, again, you know, we don't know, but that was the best recollection. And I do think that's important. And I always say too, we weren't there in the courtroom to check the veracity of witnesses and look at all the crime scene photos. And so, you know, I give deference to the jury. I just think it's terrible he wasn't allowed to make an argument.
Yeah, I feel like the jury was just, it's like walking into a movie halfway through and not quite understanding, you know, who's who, and kind of being screwed up. You, without the context of the rest of the movie, you're not going to be able to really kind of understand or make good decisions or opinions on anything if you don't know half of the story, which is what the jury essentially did. They didn't have a choice because of everything being blocked. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in, and then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.